Performance of commercial G. hirsutum varieties grown in R. reniformis infested soils with and without nematicides. Harry Randall Smith and his colleagues from Mississippi State. Here's your laser pointers in the middle.
The what now?
Laser pointers in the middle, and the slide advances to the right.
You do. It's a little off my head. I'm sitting on water there. Good afternoon or evening, whichever. I guess I'm the one that started all the feeding frenzy on the variety performance and all this type of stuff. But I would like to show you some 2012 data by myself, Gary Lawrence, Richard Harkis, Kathy Lawrence, David Lane, Mike Phillips, and Patricia Knight. Our objective is work to determine the level of tolerance provided by commercial cotton varieties in reniform nematode-infested soils using infield plant mapping strategies, as well as greenhouse methodologies under varying populations of the reniform nematode. Our materials and methods were twofold. There were two types, one for the greenhouse, one for the infield studies. Our data was analyzed utilizing a note by ANOVA at the 0.05 level of probability for a 5x2 factorial with an RCB factor. Our means were separated utilizing the least significant differences. Our study location was at the North Farm at Mississippi State University. There were two trials in the year 2012. One trial was on a lighter soil, CEC of about 13 to 14. Site 2 was a little bit heavier soil with a CEC of 16 to 17. We had two row plots planted with a cone planter in a solid cotton planting fashion. Our plot size were 6.33 feet wide by 50 feet long and a 38-inch row spacing. Our treatments in 2012 were Phytogen 375, Phytogen 499 Y-Strike Flex, Stalwell 5458 and 5288 Bogar 2 Flex and Fibromax 1740 Bogar 2 Flex. Treated with Ares as a nematicide seed treatment by Bayer Crop Science compared to an untreated check for every variety. In this study, we had two early varieties. We had two mid-season varieties and what I classify 499 as a more fuller season type variety. Our field evaluation for plant for in season were divided by growth stage into four periods. Pre-square, square, bloom, and open bow. Our prior square evaluation began 14 days after emergence. We looked at plant population, we looked at hypocotyl lengths, and made a visual vigor assessment on scale 1 to 5, where 1 had the greatest level of vigor. Our in-season parameters that we evaluated through plant mapping utilizing 6 plants per plot per evaluation were fruit retention at positions 1, 2, and greater than 2, plant height, total nodes, height-to-node ratio, and average plant height by node in an accumulated fashion. Our maturity factors that we evaluated were nodes of the first fruiting branch, nodes above white flower, nose above cracked bowl, percent open bowl, and our bowl diameter measures of first position bowls at the 9th node below the terminal and the 12th node below the terminal, as well as yield. We sampled every plot for reniform nematodes. We processed them through the elutriator and centrifuge process before enumerating. In our greenhouse study, we planted 2 seed per 3-inch pot into a sterile freestone fine sanded loam soil. After emergence, one plant was removed. The data we acquired prior to harvest included plant height, total nodes, and nodes first fruit and branch. At harvest, we looked at shoot and stalk biomass as well as reniform populations. Our variety treatments were the same as in the field. However, we began looking at nematode populations that range from 0 to 7,500. Our nematicide seed treatment was Ares compared to an untreated check. If we look at our results in 2012 from the two sites, the nematode reniform population began fairly low at planting to the month of June in our second evaluation. After June, that population began to incline at both locations. When we look at Noah's first fruiting branch, at location one, I did not see a lot of differences significantly between Noah's first fruiting branch of these varieties, between treated and untreated, until I got to 499 and 5458. However, we do see numerical differences in the Noah's first fruiting branch, where the untreated check was greater in Noah's first fruiting branch, indicating the delay in initiation of fruiting. We see the same pattern at location two. However, 375 comes into play and shows a significant difference between treated and untreated at location two. In our hypocotyl lengths, which I use the hypocotyl length as a quantifiable level of measurement for vigor, we see there is significant differences between every variety, treated or untreated, with the exception of Stoneville 5458 at both locations. However, if we look at some of these this data on a numerical basis, we can see some assistance by some of these varieties. When we get into plant height, we see whether it was at square, bloom, or open bow, we see an improved plant height utilizing the nematicide seed treatment. However, when we look at this thing closely, we'll see that a variety like Fighters in 375 during bloom starts showing some wider differences between the treated and the untreated, whereas there are narrower differences in certain varieties such as 1740, 499, and 5458. When we look at average plant height in an accumulated measure, or average plant height by node in accumulation, the one thing during square that we picked up, 375 and 5288, two of the earliest maturing varieties, improved overall growth at the untreated under these low populations compared to the 1740, 499, or 5458. These varieties began, under summary, began to break a little bit earlier than the early maturing varieties. When we got into bloom, we saw a significant improvement by the nematicide treatment across all varieties and all nodes. But when we start looking at the overall, this thing closely, and we look at numerical difference, we do see some improvement. These varieties are not crashing and burning on us in the untreated fashion under these populations. When we look at square retention, there is no difference hardly between treated and untreated during square. And we've seen this with other tests across all positions. When we look at bloom, that's where we start showing up our shed or reduction in retention across varieties. But we are still, there are still some indications that these varieties are providing us some assistance during this time frame. We see it as we held on to these higher levels during bloom, that extrapolates over to the open bow period. But yes, the treated varieties do improve overall retention. When we get into maturity, at location one, we see the delay showing up between the treated and untreated. But the thing that I'm looking at is that these untreated varieties are still holding horsepower. If you want to look at Noah's Above White Flower as a source of horsepower within that variety, we're still holding them at this point in time. Now, at location one, what we see is 5288 in treated and untreated do not differ, as does Fighters in 499. At location two, for some reason during that year, we did not show a difference in those above white flower. They were cranking the same level between treated and untreated. Now, when I got to nose above cracked bowl 1 month later, every untreated variety was showing a lateness in maturity compared to the treatment. However, there are some numerical indications that we are getting some assistance by some of these varieties. I like to use the bowl diameter difference as a first position to look at the progression of bowl speed of development. If you look at, if you look at fighters in 375, the difference between node 9 below the terminal and node 12 below the terminal, that difference is 3.6. This compared to the untreated chick, that's a sizable difference in growth. So we're saying that 375 is improved greatly by the nematicide seed treatments. When we get to 5288, that margin's a little bit different. Now, maybe we're getting some assistance there. And we look at these different varieties from that standpoint, at location one and location two, we do see these varieties are providing us some assistance, more than we're giving them. When we look at yield difference, we see that Fibromax 1740 at location one and 5458 did not differ between treated and untreated. Yes, the 5458 is lower. The untreated are lower than the treated, but we are seeing a similarity in assistance there by those varieties, or a little bit of tolerance, if you want to use it like that. The significant difference is in that Fison 375. There was a 430-pound yield difference, and on that soil type, we improved yield with a nematicide on that variety significantly, as we did with 5288. When we get to with the location two, we see a similar pattern. However, look at that 5458. There is a, even though it's significantly different, there is not a lot of difference between treated and untreated under this soil type. When we looked at our greenhouse studies, it didn't matter what population or what treatment, what variety we had. As the population increased of reniform nematode, the root and shoot biomass went down, whether it was treated or untreated. Definitely the treated gives us a better performance at the higher populations than the untreated. But what I saw in this thing, and I looked at it very closely, some of these varieties, like 375, begins falling out a little bit earlier than 5288, than 499, or some of these varieties. So we do have a different fallout of these varieties as that population increases. And yes, there are some numerical differences, even though there is significant difference between treated and untreated. The treatment by no means, by all means, improved performance. But we do see a little bit of assistance by these varieties. Plant height follows the same pattern as what we saw in the root and shoot biomass. The treat gives us a better overall performance and growth of these products. But as the reniform nematode number increases, plant height goes down. It goes down whether it's treated or untreated, but at different levels depending on the variety. In conclusion, all of our varieties were improved in growth and development and yield whether a nematicide was used in reniform infested soils. As that reniform population increased, all treated and untreated varieties were reduced in growth, but to a lesser degree with that nematicide seed treatment. But there are variety impacts that I feel like are evident in this studies. Some of our varieties, Stonewood 5458, 1740, and 499, I feel like showed us some levels of tolerance or assistance, if you want to call it that, in the absence of nematicides under these populations that we had to start. In most instances, differences or benefits were very subtle, but these differences, in my opinion, in dealing with integrated crop management for years, can lead us to management decisions. Definitely the combined effects of variety and nematicide do work together in reniform nematode-infested soils. That's it, and I will take any questions if I have time.
Time for questions.
I know it's fast. And it's time to go.
Having no questions, we'll let you complete the next presentation.